All right, let's do this. We're going live in 5, 4, 3.
Oh my, just so many business podcasts out there. How can I possibly know where to begin? Here at Intrepid Business, we are about stripping away all of the usual boring fluff and instead focus on showcasing real people doing real business, achieving amazing things. The ones truly changing the world, the instigators making a dent, the people changing how we do sales and marketing, leading innovation, the people redefining leadership. But who are these people? Why do they do what they do? How do they do what they do? Find out on Intrepid Business. And now, here are your hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to Intrepid Makers. I am your host, Todd Schnick. Very much looking forward to this conversation. The material handling industry is so critical in manufacturing, and I love the fact that we're going to talk to someone who's doing some innovative work in that space, so essential going forward. So let's get to it. Say hello to my guest. His name is Aaron Jones. He is the president of Bastion Solutions. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd. Quite an honor to be with you today and look forward to this conversation.
Yeah, well, the pleasure's mine. Thanks for carving out some very valuable time to join me. I much appreciate it. I do have to ask you a question. In reading up on you a little bit, can you confirm the fact that you are actually a Yankee?
Well, I was for a while. I'm not anymore now. I'm a Detroit Tiger. But, for about 4 seasons, I played for the Yankees and definitely very quickly learned to have a strong hatred for the Red Sox.
Hey, come on. All right. Well, that wraps this broadcast. Enjoy talking with you today. Yeah. So I represent that team that currently has no pitching. So we'll deal with that this season. All right. Well, it's still, Aaron, good to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us. Do me a favor, despite the news about the Yankees, do inform the audience a bit about you and your background.
Well, I've been here in the material handling and industrial automation for almost 10 years. And really, over those 10 years, in my opinion, have been part of some of the most rapid growth and expansion and the most intense period of innovation that this industry has ever seen. It's been just a wild ride. Each and every year, the goods and services and products that are delivered and brought to this market get more exciting. So this past 10 years has been fantastic. Prior to this industry, I started at Ford Motor Company and then transitioned into Visteon Corporation and worked in the automotive industry in the exterior division. So I can honestly say that really the last 10 years has been quite a substantial ride and one that I desired entering into this market.
All right. Well, we're going to dive into that head first in just a minute. But as I said, you're the president of Bastion Solutions. Give us the 10,000-foot view of Bastion. What do you guys do? How do you serve your market?
You know, Bastion's been in business for over 63 years, and we're really a third-generation family-owned company that has grown up substantially in the past decade. We now have 17 offices in the United States. We're represented in over 8 countries. And our mission with our company is to provide our clients and partners the most innovative material handling and industrial automation projects and supply that are possible. The development of the best-in-class equipment and software services. So in a nutshell, we want our clients to be successful in their automation endeavors.
Outstanding. Well, we appreciate the fine work that you do. You know, sadly, I think there's too many people in business that when they think about material handling, when they think about the supply chain, I think they assume there's not much innovation that can happen there. I mean, there's not much to it. It's very cut and dry. It serves a very critical purpose in manufacturing. But how can you really R&D that? How can you really be innovative in material handling and supply chain? I mean, there's been some, as you said, we're in an amazing period of rapid growth and expansion in this space. Talk about some of the really the amazing technologies that have been positively impacting this space?
Well, Todd, you know, interesting, this happens to be your first question, because that was my perception of the industry when I joined 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, I felt that this industry was one of conveyance and was one of automatic storage and retrieval. And really, what more could be brought to this developed market that will change the game? And I'll tell you, over the last few years, it has really made a believer out of me. We now have some goods-to-person technologies that are bringing operators' products to their fingertips every 3 to 4 seconds.
Mm.
So really, it is now a push. We have technologies that are pushing operators and the workforce to complete their tasks in the most expeditious manner, as opposed to operators pulling. So this is the person technologies, and I'll mention a couple of them. Any type of shuttle or a perfect pick, the auto store technology, each of those, in my opinion, have been changers, and the rate of adoption that we are seeing across all industries is amazing. You know, from an innovation standpoint, it wouldn't be a complete conversation if I didn't mention the development of robotics. And this is both from an autonomous robot, one that is creeping or crawling through somebody's facilities, bringing goods and product directly to their fingertips, or even the traditional robotics where the price point has gone down and the performance has gone up through means of high-tech automation such as, you know, vision systems or cameras. So really where we're at in this market is one where the cost of technology is going down and the performance is going up. It's getting very hard to combat the benefit and cost analysis when considering high-end automation.
I want to explore something you said a few minutes ago. I would love for you, if you can, to take a few quick seconds and be sure that my audience is very clear on the difference between pushing versus pulling. I think that's a critical concept that I want to be sure that my audience is really clear on.
You know, in a good industrial automation and material handling solution, we are presenting the operators in the workforce almost more work than they can handle. In that case, that's a pushing scenario. We want the workforce to be the limiters in shipping product or fulfilling orders. We don't want orders to be waiting on, I guess, equipment or technology. We don't want the operators to have to walk. We don't want the workforce to have to move to complete an order, searching for goods and products and services, looking for the right last trinket to complete a 3-line order. Those are all pull type solutions. In some of the most innovative, high speed and complete automation solutions we're providing today, we are pushing the operators in a consistent manner. And then, of course, through software, we have the metrics to know how effective we are and the shift has been in completing the work that's needed.
You mentioned that, if I heard you correctly, Aaron, and correct me if I got that wrong, that you're pleased with the rate of adoption, because there's still many manufacturers that are still very old school in their thinking and their approach, and it's always worked for us this way, so we're going to continue to do it that way. I think they're falling behind. So you're feeling pretty optimistic that the status of the industry is quickly adopting these new technologies, these new ways of doing business?
I am pleased with the rate of adoption, and specifically in 2014.
Mm.
I would say prior to 2014, it was more of a complex sell. It was more of there was doubt. There was a really true question. You know, how can you really perform this fast? You could never complete this many orders in this amount of time. In late 2013, we at Bastion implemented a few systems that were sort of living proof. And with the first, particularly, that we installed with a goods-to-person technology, that has become a benchmark for us to essentially install, design, and implement, I would say, maybe a dozen similar type systems.
Hmm.
Similarly, in one particular technology, it was adopted very early and fast in Europe. And there's over 50 of these goods-to-person technologies in Europe. Well, it took a long time for the United States to really catch on. And up till now, there have been only two of this particular, it's called the AutoStore technology. So there's only been two of the AutoStore solutions installed in the United States. With that said, we've seen three more systems designed and sold here just in the fourth quarter alone. So we'll take the implementations that are in the United States from two up to five here already in the first quarter of 2015. So I believe that some of these early adopters, and frankly, the early adopters have primarily been in the e-fulfillment business, those that have such seasonal demands that they can justify a complex, highly automated facility in limited time. Those have been a lot of the early adopters. They have paved the way for other industries, such as the automotive industry, the traditional retail and consumer goods industries, all have benefited from these early adopters.
All right, good stuff. Aaron Jones will return after this short break. We'll be right back.
People know leadership and creating a culture are critical factors for a successful organization. Not every executive can bring these factors to life. Dr. Rebecca Staten-Reinstein, president of Advantage Leadership, works with companies from around the world who want to engage employees and delight customers to guarantee bottom-line success. She has already documented the winning formula for strategic leadership in Success Planning, a how-to guide for strategic planning, and Conventional Wisdom, how today's leaders plan, perform, and progress like the founding fathers. To learn more, visit AdvantageLeadership.com. That's AdvantageLeadership.com.
All right, I am back with Aaron Jones, the president of Bastion Solutions. You know, Aaron, when I walk around these big trade shows like ProMat, for instance, and I see all this amazing technology from robotics, as you mentioned, to all these automation systems and AGVs and complex conveyor systems, I mean, it's just unbelievable to me what's being built and what's being implemented today. And I walk around and I pat myself on the back and say, dude, you've seen it all. The industry cannot get any better than this. They have achieved perfection. But you and I both know that process never ends, and R&D is a big part of your work experience and what you're doing there at Bastion. It's critical, right, for material handling manufacturers to continue to invest in R&D because this process is only going to get better.
You know, you said that perfectly, Todd. In my opinion, those companies that are not innovative will be quickly left behind. We have seen many of our clients come to us and tell us, I guess, the benefit and the perceived influence that we have had on their facility through some of our actions. Frankly, one of our top clients who we've been working with now for a few years has mentioned that our direct involvement in research and development makes them feel like we have the ability to take them and their facilities to the next step. In my opinion, those that don't invest in research and development will be standing on the sidelines in the very near future.
I was at a manufacturing show this past fall, and I saw this sign that when I first saw it, I just laughed. It was just funny to me because it said something along the lines of robots for less than $10,000. And it just struck me. So it was like, you know, get this new car for less than a grand or whatever. But then I thought, wow. How amazing is that that robotics is now almost affordable or is almost becoming a commodity, if you will. I mean, I don't think I would call it that yet, but you get my point. What's possible next, Aaron? I mean, we're robots continue to get faster and stronger and more nimble and able to do more kinds of things. I mean, what are some exciting things we should be paying attention to looking forward to the next 3 to 5 years? I mean, it's really exciting.
Yeah, I would venture to say that the past 3 to 5 years have been overwhelmingly exciting.
Yeah.
But they will not equal the benefit and growth and innovative nature that we are about to see in the next 3 to 5 years. The continual development of the Delta robots, the speed, the payload that they're able to operate at, it just continues to improve year over year. In fact, we looked at a project we installed in 2012, and we compared that to the performance of what's available only a year and a half later. So we purchased this robot end of the year 2012. We installed it in 2013. we look back at the end of 2014, early 2015, and compare the performance of just a year and a half. And it literally is uncomparable. The performance blows itself out of the water. You know, we're talking 30 to 40% improvements in speed, weight, accuracy. Where this industry is going, we're going to see considerable development in the Delta robots. We are going to see the universal robots, the robots that are hand in hand, side by side with operators. We're going to see those in the next 5 to 6 years. We're going to see those at the price point that folks can adopt and easily justify them into their typical workforce.
Yeah, very, very exciting. Let's shift a little bit to some global perspective. I mean, the world's never been smaller. It's very exciting and a lot of opportunity there. Where are there some opportunities, both globally and regionally, for material handling automation growth?
Well, the U.S. obviously remains our strongest market. We've been in the U.S. over 60 years, and we have really 17 strong and developed satellite and regional offices. However, globally, we are seeing just intense growth in the Indian market. There's recently been some governmental changes and interstate tax laws that have changed, and we see that as being overwhelmingly positive for that market. We've delivered in India some of the most innovative facilities, definitely in the country, but I would also say they can rival any automation systems on the planet. With the development of the robotics and the cost-sensitive nature, we have seen robotics being very popular in the Mexican market. With price point going down and performance going up, we've seen those two curves and lines essentially crisscross, and the price point is now in a favorable manner to implement robotics and automated solutions in Mexico. You know, Europe has always been a fast adopter and in many regards been pioneers in the automation industry. So while it is relatively developed in Europe, we see a lot of the other countries that I mentioned, U.S., Mexico, India, Canada, Brazil, all catching up. Now, that's from more of an innovative and automated standpoint. With Australia, we're seeing more, Australia is very safety conscious. And with some of the development of this good-to-person technology, price point coming down as it is, and the improved safety, we're seeing that interest from an Australian standpoint as well.
That's going to be fun to watch as well. Very exciting. Aaron, we just have a few minutes left. I want to shift to a very critical discussion that has been a common theme on this show, but it's this whole notion of recruitment into manufacturing. I mean, there's still plenty of people out there that think that you're wearing overalls on a dirty assembly line, but when you and I both know that this industry is now at the very leading edge of technology and technological development, and that's very, very exciting. Let's talk about both the efforts to recruit talent into that space. And there's still plenty of manufacturers struggling because there's just a lack of skilled labor. And what can we do to address that? I know STEM is something that's important to you guys, and I worry that our educational system is not doing enough to prepare for people for this industry. Let's talk about that. What are some of your thoughts there?
Well, this industry is, in my opinion, is actually quite attractive to our graduate engineers. And at Bastion, that's where it really starts for us, is the engineering discipline, because we feel that folks that enter into the STEM careers will have an interest in our industrial automation field. We rely heavily on networking at the university levels. Mm. There are universities near each of our offices, each of our regional offices, that we quote-unquote partner with. We know their professors. We know their students. We work the internship factor. We are very active in career fairs and sponsorships and speaking engagements because we feel we have a heck of a story. These folks that are graduating high school and decide to enter into a science or technology field, they are interested in our profession. They may not know it yet, but you know, how many folks at a young age were fascinated with robotics? Those are the types of folks that usually end up finding themselves in one of these careers. We just have to unleash it. Just have to make sure they're aware where we're at. When we get folks to speak to us, and again, this is not This is not something that just happens. We have to be very involved on a boots on the ground type basis and promoting our technology and promoting our industry. With that type of active involvement in our presentation and I guess information sharing manner, we do find folks that are overwhelmingly interested in our profession. Now, with that said, I can't for a second say that it's easy.
Right.
It is hard work. These folks graduating have many options. There are many industries growing very fast. So it is a very competitive game. In the same manner that industries such as Bastion compete for their business from their clients in aggressive automation scenarios, we have to compete for the top talent as well.
Aaron, it's one thing to prepare young students for a career in this space. It's another thing to recruit talent into this space. It's yet another thing altogether to retain top talent. Talk about, and that's a, we talked earlier about the competitive nature of this thing, and we also talked about how exciting and how fast moving this space is. It's going to become a struggle for organizations to retain their talent. What are some strategies that you think are viable to better achieve that?
Well, Todd, a few minutes ago, we mentioned the R&D initiatives. And again, in my perspective, those that are not involved in R&D left behind. The same can be said for our employees. We believe and we are targeting the type of employee that wants to be challenged. And it's our belief that one of the reasons for our great reach, we are providing employees opportunities where they can be in cutting-edge technology. It's our belief that if by our employees this type of opportunity, they will be engaged and challenged. You know, let's face it, there were many easy career paths. These students were selecting a degree in a course of study. Engineering, the selection of an engineering, science, or technology field tells us right now that they wanted a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
In order to retain folks, we have to provide them a challenge. We believe we're very good at challenging our employees with advanced sortation, advanced shuttle technologies, goods-to-person technologies, robotics, and full-fledged automation. Those are the types of fields and industries and challenges that these folks want to see.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, Aaron, I hate to say it, we are about out of time. Before I let you go, where can people go to contact you should they have questions? Where can they learn more about Bastion Solutions? And is there a place they can go find your Yankee sats?
Well, there's a lot of answers to that. You can find us at www.bastionsolutions.com. We're headquartered in Indianapolis. As far as my Yankee stats go, you may want to stay away from those. If they were overwhelming, I may still be hitting a long ball.
All right. Aaron Jones, the president of Bastion Solutions. Aaron, a real joy to have you on the show. Thank you for sharing some critical thoughts. And it sounds like you and I agree that what we're about to witness in this space is going to be very, very exciting. Thanks again for your time.
All right. Thank you, Todd. My pleasure.
All right. Well, that wraps this broadcast. Again, on behalf of my guest, Aaron Jones, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Makers.